The Bloomington Police Chief job search has moved from private interviews to public ones. WGLT correspondent Colleen Reynolds caught up with the two finalists for the job at a community meet and greet. Let's hear first from former state police captain and Parkland College Police Chief Bill Colebrook. Colebrook says he has a passion for law enforcement. He got into it to serve the community and make a difference. 34 years later, he is still at it.
Being a resident of Bloomington, long-standing former resident of Bloomington. I want to take my experiences, my law enforcement experiences, my passion for community policing, my ability to reach out to all groups and talk to all people, regardless of background and or opinion, and to forge relationships and to make a difference in this community.
Knowing what you know about the city of Bloomington, and even perhaps based on some of what you heard from community residents, what do you think is the biggest challenge for community relations and crime in this community?
Well, I think there's three challenges that I spoke of: the gun violence, the fear of crime, and the community relations. And, you know, based on my experience over in Champaign-Urbana as the chief of police, I've got a very good handle on what some of the success strategies are in dealing with gun violence. The fear of crime, part of that is kind of two-part. One is, what are you doing to combat the violence? And the other is, how well are you communicating those efforts to the community? So if you're a community member and you don't work in the police department, you're wondering, you know, what is, you know, the people who are supposed to be doing something, what are they doing? Well, with my ability to communicate with anybody and everybody, I will be completely transparent, and I will let the community know what we are doing. So they have a sense of, you know, what some of the strategies are, why we're doing it, and also when you involve other people in those communication efforts, they get a buy-in into the solution. You know, people don't like to be kept out in the dark of what the solutions are. So if I bring community members in and we communicate properly to the community, to the citizens of what we believe the problem is and what steps and efforts we are taking to combat it, then that fear of crime actually goes down. And as far as community relations, it's all about relationships. You know, I've built relationships my entire career. That's what we do at Parkland College at the moment. You know, that's one of the shining you know, stars in my repertoire is building relationships. I am willing, and I will on a continuous basis meet with you know, any constituent group that wants to meet with me. I will do outreach in the community. I will go to neighborhoods. I will go to faith-based leaders. I will go to churches. I will meet with organizations, whether it's the Elks Club or any other benevolent association. I will go to schools. I will go, you know, wherever it takes to build those relationships. And just like we say in the emergency management arena, you never want to be exchanging business cards, you know, on the day of an emergency. The same thing with the city of Bloomington. I will have built those relationships ahead of time. I will have built the trust between the community and me, and thus the community and the police department. So then when something does happen and we collaboratively try to come up with a solution, we already know each other. We already trust each other.
You were getting some feedback about immigrants in the community being afraid to come forward. How would you approach the strategy for reassuring immigrants who are undocumented that they can trust the police department if they're a victim of a crime or if they see crime happen?
So just to be clear on my position, the Illinois Trust Act is the guiding law on this issue. And it'd be no different than what I already do as chief of police at Parkland College. You know, if a federal agency such as ICE comes with a signed warrant from a magistrate or a judge, it's a criminal matter, then we would participate, we would have professional relationships with ICE and regarding that criminal matter. If the issue is regarding the status of a resident based on their immigration status alone, I view that as a federal ICE issue. We will let the federal agency do what their mission is and their job, and we will not participate in that. What I will do in order to make undocumented immigrants safe is I'm going to meet with them. The same conversations I'm having tonight, I'm going to have those conversations out in the community, and they'll be able to look me in the eye, and we can talk about it for hours, and my position will never change. The residents of this community should feel safe in their existence. We will let the federal government and particularly the agency of ICE to take care of what their mission statement is, and we will take care of what our mission statement is, which is to combat crime, ensure the safety of the residents and visitors of the city of Bloomington. And once again, it's through those relationships, it's through that trust, it's through those communications, and maybe it won't be just one time. Maybe it's going to have to take multiple times. You know, if you are in fear of getting detained based solely on your immigration status, you may feel reluctant to come forward if you're a victim. We want those folks to participate in the process that's going to help make this community safe. So we need them to have that comfort level, that trust, to be able to come forward and tell us if they're a victim, tell us if they have information that we can then use to help solve crime, which in the end makes the city of Bloomington safer.
ICE is going to come in, and now we're seeing it happen, and they reach out to the city of Bloomington. We're doing this. We got to block off some streets. We need your assistance.
I don't want to get ahead of myself, and from where I stand now, without having been involved, you know, my response is the same thing. If they are doing an operation that's based solely on the immigration status of residents, then we're going to let ICE handle that. If they have something that's criminal in nature, then it's a different conversation entirely.
We have a council member who wants to put together a task force that would include police to make Bloomington a recreational marijuana tourism destination. What are your thoughts about recreational marijuana, and would you be in favor of that sort of open embracing of what is going to be legal as an economic development opportunity?
Well, I don't know how prepared I am to talk about some of these concepts that you just talked about, because it's the first I've heard of it. But the legalization of marijuana in general, I understand from one perspective, that people say that it's not a gateway drug, it's not this, it's not that, and I appreciate their perspective. But I also appreciate from a law enforcement perspective, we've got to be very cognizant of some of the issues that may come of that. Obviously, if somebody is operating a motor vehicle or heavy machinery, we cannot have somebody that's under the influence of drugs, operating a vehicle on the roadways of the state of Illinois or the city of Bloomington. It's a very, very complicated issue. It's not simple, and it won't be decided upon, in a single study session or a city council meeting. But it's certainly something that needs to be talked about, because once again, I get where society is evolving, is changing. But at the same time, I believe there's some legitimate public safety concerns that need to be raised.
You talked about bringing the police department into the 21st century. Lots of businesses, government agencies, healthcare are all going to big data, artificial intelligence. Where do you see that going to help police in ways that it isn't today? Do you have a vision?
Well, I do have a vision. That is obviously the track that governments and in particular police departments, are going. Sometimes it's work smarter, not harder. And technology is one of those avenues in which that you can work smarter. There's been police agencies throughout the country that have used crime data other information and had a computer, crunch those numbers, and they're able to deploy, their officers in areas at specific days of the week, specific times of the day, in specific neighborhoods, sometimes down to the street, in order to do directed patrols and affect, what would be predicted crime, whether it's car burglaries or home burglaries or sexual assaults or whatever the case may be. I think metadata has a place in law enforcement. However, like a gentleman tonight pointed out, there is privacy concerns, and we will have to balance, the privacy concerns of citizens versus the public safety aspects as well. Once again, it's going to take a conversation. It's going to take the opportunity to get all the data, all the facts on the table, and dig deeper. Have a deep dive into what that actually means, before we go forward and implement new technologies.
You talked about bringing community policing. What does that really look like, aside from you meeting a lot with individuals? What else does that look like? Day to day, what does that look like?
Well, just to clarify, I wouldn't say I'm bringing it back, because I already know the Bloomington Police Department does community policing. But just when the chief of police walks in the front door and they know that I've committed myself to this philosophy my entire career, that they have an understanding of what philosophy that we're going to have as a police department. You're right. It doesn't just take the chief to be a community policing officer or the assistant chiefs or the lieutenants. It takes everybody. I will encourage, that sort of philosophy out on the street. There's some things, some ideas I've spoke about in the interviews that I really don't want to reveal now, because I think I'd be getting too far ahead of myself. But I need to find ways to encourage the officers to think that community policing is something that you just do automatically. It's just not something, hey, I'm going to check this box and do this today. It needs to be ingrained in your DNA. But there's lots of ideas.
One last question to kind of connect it back to the gun violence and the problems. How does that help, and what other strategies do you have to reducing gun violence?
Kids do not grow up thinking they're going to pick up a gun and pull a trigger. Something along the way has allowed them to do that. There is a thing called the face I wear, or the mask I wear. I've heard it both ways. And basically, if you have a child who's coming up into young adulthood, he's got certain challenges that they're faced with, and they have a certain persona, and maybe they pick up a gun because they're scared. Maybe they pick up a gun because they think that's the only way to get money in their pocket. If we can work on building relationships with the smaller kids and the older kids and the young adults and the parents, then all that does is make a difference. There's all kinds of programs out there, whether it be like a program like Midnight Basketball or other sort of affiliations that can be created, where the kids have an opportunity to have relationships, good, solid, safe relationships with other kids. They can be given opportunities for education. They can be given opportunities for maybe a job. There's all kinds of things that can be done. Once again, this just isn't a police problem, a police issue. This is a community issue that needs to be solved by the community.
That's Parkland College Police Chief Bill Colebrook talking with GLT correspondent Colleen Reynolds. Colebrook is one of the finalists for the job of Bloomington Police Chief. The in-house candidate is current Interim Chief Dan Donath. Donath has been with the department more than 25 years. There is a lot of distrust of police from high-profile police shootings, difficulty recruiting minority officers. Gunfire incidents are increasing in many communities. Donath tells Colleen Reynolds someone has to lead through those times and those challenges.
The challenges for the city of Bloomington, I think the biggest thing right now is gun crime. People, instead of if they're going to have an argument, they'll pull out a gun, as opposed to, you know, the old days where you might have a fist fight with somebody. Today's world, it seems like people are a lot quicker to move to a gun and try to resolve some of their issues. So that's the biggest issue for Bloomington itself.
What do you think are your unique characteristics, skills, ability, and background that will help address that?
Well, really, a lot of my life experiences and a lot of my experiences at the police department, I've been very fortunate in my life to experience a lot of different things. I got a great education at Illinois State University, study abroad program where I learned a lot about people. And then I've been very lucky at the police department that my approach to working has got me selected for essentially almost every position in the police department. So I understand all the aspects of our police department, how they work, what they mean, how they interact with each other. And so I think that gives me a distinct advantage as opposed to somebody that may have only worked in one or two areas. They may just not know all the types of things that we do at our police department.
2018, I think, was the deadliest year in sort of recent memory for actual homicides due to gunfire. And there's a lot of debate right now about the role that guns play versus other factors. What's your philosophy about that?
Well, honestly, I don't have a philosophy in a concise sense. There's a lot of factors that play into that, way more than we would probably be able to talk about right now. But there's just all type of things, like, you know, like I talked about, people choosing to go to guns as opposed to a way to resolve their issues. Well, why does that happen? And are there other factors of the way that they grew up or education levels or the environment or national rhetoric? Or, you know, there's all kinds of things that contribute to creating somebody's perspective and how they decide how they're going to handle things. So there's not one clear, concise angle to that. In regards to guns themselves, you know, I don't get into political things about whether they're the appropriate thing and people should have, you know, those rights. That's the rights in the Constitution, and I'm only here to, you know, support the people's rights as far as what my job is within the police department. But whether they belong or don't belong, that's for other people.
We've often heard that it's going to take a collaborative approach to solving the gun-related crimes. Do you have any new ideas, unique strategies that you think you can make a difference with?
Well, I think there's a few things that we can do. Some things we're already doing. We're already being very successful at removing guns from the street. This year alone, already we've removed 20-some guns from the street, which is more than last year. And I've already been in touch with some of the local schools to talk about education and how we can you know, assist with knowledge about guns and their danger and what their role is in our environment, and how we can de-escalate situations between students. So I've already engaged with them about how we might be able to achieve that. One thing you might recall, years ago I taught the DARE program, and we were in the schools and we talked about a lot of different aspects. And so maybe this is an opportunity that we might, you know, have some involvement in the schools and try to help with the education about guns and their safety and things of that nature. But I don't have all the answers per se. I'm not the chief yet, but we have a lot of great smart people, a lot of people with a lot of experience, and we'll talk about all those things and we'll come up with some strategies that we feel will be very productive, even though we already have been productive in the sense that we've arrested everyone on every one of those murders. There's nobody running around free, and we've taken a lot of guns off the street, so we've already been very proactive about that.
Do you have thick skin? One of the criteria I keep hearing is they've got to be able to take criticism and then do something with that.
Yeah, actually, that's one of the great skill sets I have is I don't take offense if people criticize me. In fact, I look for criticism from people. Now, there's certainly people that they're very good at criticizing essentially everything, and so you may not take a lot from them. But there's probably a little bit you can take something from some people. You just have to be honest with yourself and be able to assess, is there some truth to that? Am I maybe not doing something quite right or something wrong? And be honest with yourself. And I've always had that skill set. I'm not afraid to critique myself.
You're listening to Sound Ideas. We're talking with Dan Doneth, one of two candidates, finalists for police chief in Bloomington. Recreational marijuana is coming. And we have at least one councilwoman who wants to put together a task force and really make Bloomington a user-friendly environment for that, and even welcome tourists and become sort of a destination because of our welcoming of recreational users. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I don't know all the details about what the councilperson's suggesting, so it's hard for me to comment on that because I really don't know the details of it. And that's one thing I'm careful about commenting on things, that if I really just don't know all the information and the facts about it, I hate to offer up an opinion when I'm really just not knowledgeable.
Do you think a task force is a good idea, knowing that this is coming, to make some determinations about our community attitudes and restrictions?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would probably be an appropriate thing to do because there's multiple factors to it. There's the law enforcement aspect to it, but there also is a city side to it in regards to what they're going to allow businesses to do within the city and where they're going to allow them to do it. So there's multiple facets to that particular that topic.
Do you have anyone strong concern?
Yes and no. I mean, if you look at some of the other states that have legalized marijuana, car accidents are up, DUIs are up, hospital visits are up. So those are some of the things that we see from a law enforcement aspect that would cause some concern. But it really is an open-ended thing, and we'll just have to see, what happens.
AI, artificial intelligence, big data is starting to transform businesses, government, healthcare. How do you see using data to inform your strategy on resource allocation and approach to crime?
Well, certainly, there's some angles to that, but we've been using analytics for crime for some time, and we've been very successful with it. We start to pick up patterns on burglaries, and in fact, we picked up on one last year that was a pretty big burglary situation, and we were able to resolve that, find out who the person was involved, and get them in custody. So we've really been using statistics and analytics for years.
Your biggest challenge, I think you're going to hear, is there is distrust still, I think, between especially the minority community and police. Any other strategies that you have for really trying to improve those relations?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to focus on community policing. Community policing seems to me has really kind of historically been a lot of singular events. And I think community policing should be more of a mindset or a culture so that when we're handling calls for service, we're looking at it from a community policing aspect and not just resolving the call just in general. But I will tell you that the body-worn cameras that we initiated last summer, what we've had for a year now, have been fantastic. All of our encounters are recorded, and it gives us a great opportunity to realize or find out what really happened on a call for service, if there is a question between, individuals about what transpired. And now we can just sit back and watch, which is fantastic.
Are you using any of those for training?
We've used them somewhat for training. Mostly it's mostly been for, we actually have had a lot less criminal or citizen complaints this year. For whatever reasons, and then they've been used in criminal cases.
Dan Dona, thank you so much. I'm Colleen Reynolds.
Either Interim Chief Dan Dunath or former State Police Captain and Parkland College Police Chief Bill Colebrook will become the new Bloomington Police Chief probably sometime next week when City Manager Tim Gleason makes the choice.